Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father
and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Together, would you join me in reading the title of today's sermon, Cheap Words or Costly Thanks? Based on Romans chapter 12, verse 1, which reads, in view of God's mercy, present your bodies as living sacrifices to God, which is your reasonable service. One more time with me, would you read? Cheap words or costly thanks. Please follow your sermon outline. It's in front of you today as we consider this message, cheap words or costly thanks. On this Thanksgiving Sunday, for what are you truly thankful? The story is told of a cranky old grandmother. Maybe you know a cranky old grandmother. Maybe sometimes you are a cranky old grandmother. Anthony, you shook your head. Is that? No. On one day, this cranky old grandmother took her grandson to the beach to enjoy the beach, to play in the surf, and she was reading her magazine. When a strong wave came in, grabbed her little grandson and swept him out into the ocean. Now, this grandmother was a woman who never said please or thank you to anybody. But as her grandson was swept out to sea, she got on her knees and said, oh, Lord, you know I've never asked you for anything. Please save my grandson. He's my only grandson. No sooner has she prayed this prayer than another wave came crashing on the beach and it deposited her grandson right at her feet. And the grandmother said, thank you, Lord, for saving my grandson. But he did have a nice little hat on his head. Where's his hat? Thanks, but does that sound like any of us today? Thank you, God, but too often our thanks can be spoken with buts, with reservations, a sign that our thanksgiving, even on Thanksgiving Sunday, are too often just cheap words and not a costly expression of our love for a generous God. Yes, words are not enough. But thanksgiving is owed to God. For ancient Israel, look at your sermon outline. For ancient Israel, thanksgiving was not just a once per year event. Under King David, he had special priests called Levites twice a day to lead the people of God in thanks. We read from 1 Chronicles 16, David appointed Levites to give thanks and to lead the people. They were to stand every morning and every evening to thank and praise God. And 400 years later, on the occasion of the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem after exile, special singers were placed on the walls of Jerusalem to lead the people in singing thanks to God. Listen to 1 Chronicles. Listen to Nehemiah 12. And on that day, they offered great sacrifices and said thanks. Men, women, children, and the sound of thanksgiving could be heard many miles away from Jerusalem. Now, of course, the book of Psalms in the Old Testament is the Old Testament hymn book. And it's filled with psalms of thanks to God. There are far too many to read in this sermon. But so many of these thanksgiving psalms begin with these words. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. And countless times our dear Lord Jesus himself stopped what he was doing to give thanks to his Father in heaven. Listen to Matthew 11. Jesus says, I thank you, my Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden the things of the kingdom from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. And from Matthew 15 it says, Jesus took the loaves and the fish. He gave thanks to his Father, and then he broke them for his disciples to give to all the people. And how about the early church? In the book of Acts, we see the early church filled every day with thanksgivings to God, and these thanksgivings were not to end even in heaven. For in the book of Revelation, chapter 7, the Apostle John gives us a vision of heaven. And what is God's people, the church, doing? Listen to Rome. Listen to Revelation 7. And there I saw a great multitude from every tribe and nation standing before God's throne and crying with a loud voice, praise and glory and thanks to our God. Thanks forever and ever. Now, it has been said that if you wanted to pick one word out of the entire Bible that best describes the faith of God's people, it would be this one word, thanksgiving. Now, God's people, are we listening or are we occupied elsewhere this morning? God's people, beware. Take note. Words can be cheap, but true thanks is costly. Just ask a young boy named Daniel from Daniel chapter 6's account of Daniel in the den of lions. Daniel was a Hebrew boy serving in the palace of the king of Persia. And the king had made this declaration to his people, I am God in human flesh. You must bow down to the statue of me and call me your God. But David knew the first commandment. By the way, what is the first commandment? Thus says the Lord, you shall have no other gods before me. David knew that well. So David would not bow down to the king. No, David kept the three traditional hours of Hebrew prayer when he was warned, if you do this, your life is at stake. Listen to what we read in Daniel 6. Three times every day, Daniel gave thanks to God just as he had done before. And because of this, Daniel was thrown into a den. That is a large pit dug out filled with lions. You see, true thanks is costly. But as the account declares, God delivered thankful Daniel from these den of lions. And thanksgiving, my friends, is also more than what we see around us today. In our world today, thanksgiving has been turned into not a day to give thanks to God, but as one day of the year, as an excuse to pig out, to go to excess in food and in drink. The same could be said in the days of Amos, the Old Testament prophet. God was not pleased then. And I can't imagine he's pleased to now about a national holiday that's just been turned into a day off and an excuse for overeating and drinking and forgetting about people all around us who don't even have the basic needs to live. Listen to what Amos says in chapter 5. The Lord declares, you who turn away the poor at your own gates, I hate. I reject your festivals. Take away from me the noise of your celebrations. But let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like ever-flowing streams. Justice means here taking care of people in need. Righteousness here means to walk the walk and not just talk the talk of having faith in God. My friends, this Thanksgiving 2019, as it was true in Amos's day 2,500 years ago, to thank God means to care for and love others who have less than we do. How about a new tradition in your family for Thanksgiving? How about adding this tradition together with a meal of thanks? Especially be on the lookout for someone in your neighborhood, your family, or your community who has a real need. And as a family together, meet that need. That will be a way of giving thanks to God. 1 John 4 says this: we love because God loved us first. If anyone says, I love God, but hates his brother, he's a liar. Anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. Whoever loves God will also love his brother. Now, none of us today, none of us, have to look very far in our life to see somebody who's in physical or emotional or mental or spiritual need. Thanksgiving to God includes taking care of others. So I'm going to ask you today, as you go home this week, especially tomorrow, ask God in prayer to lay upon your heart the name of one person that you can care for in their deepest need. Could it be food or an invitation to a meal? Could it be a listening and caring ear over a cup of coffee? Could it be financial help? Could it mean including in your yearly Thanksgiving celebration a new tradition to help others who are in need? This is one reason why today, right after worship, as you go into the hall and as you're on your way to the treats and goodies, you will see in the narthex a single little table with a basket. We are taking a special Thanksgiving offering today above and beyond our normal offering. This offering will be split in half. One half of the funds will be used to replenish our own food bank. As the weather gets colder, more people will be coming to us to ask for food. The other half of this offering will go to the City of Richmond's special Richmond Connect program to care for people who are homeless, especially for their hygiene needs in cold weather. This is a practical way we can add to our Thanksgiving traditions, a way to care for those who are in need, as an expression of our thanks to God. Now, today's sermon can be fully summed up in the first verse we read at the beginning of our message from Romans 12:1. Listen carefully to these words. St. Paul wrote, in view of God's mercy, present your bodies as living sacrifices to God, which is your reasonable service. Living sacrifice. True thanksgiving means our very lives, not just the words we speak. Reasonable service, says the text. The Greek word for reasonable service is actually an act of worship. Living a life of thanksgiving means living a life of constant worship to God. But the most important phrase in this verse is this, the way it begins: in view of God's mercy, then present your bodies as living sacrifices. In view of God's mercy. Would you please just for a moment right now look here above our altar? Look at our dear Lord on the cross, dying for you, paying for the sins of the world. In view of God's mercy, that is God's mercy. Paying the price for your sins, defeating for you the power of death. Yes, in view of God's mercy for us sinners, because of God's mercy for us sinners, we want to live as thankful people. So the motto or theme of this congregation, or the motto or theme of our individual lives, can be this: dear God, all that I am, all that I have, all that I say, all that I do, is in view of and response to your great mercy to me in Jesus Christ my Lord. God's mercy creates my thanksgiving. Would you say that with me? God's mercy creates my thanksgiving. And now a final story with which to wrap up our sermon. Some years ago, in a Houston, Texas newspaper, there was a front page article entitled, Thanks to an Anonymous Stranger. Let me read this article to you. It's an article written by a mother to someone she doesn't even know who saved the life of her son. Listen carefully. The editor of the paper writes these words. Mrs. Roy Alvarez didn't have a chance to thank you, anonymous stranger. You can well know the paralyzing terror that can grip a mother or father when they see one of their dear children dying. And Mrs. Alvarez saw her son, Roy Jr., 10 years old, being swept out to sea by a vicious riptide at Rollover Pass near Gilcrest on Thursday. He had walked out into the surf fully clothed and he couldn't swim. He was doomed. But you ran out and held on to Roy when the riptide rolled you both under and into the jagged rocks below. As you struggled out of the water to give him back to his hysterical mother and father then who had frozen in fear, and the last they ever saw of you, you were limping down the beach, trailing blood. Mrs. Alvarez was calmer on Friday. She then called our newspaper, the Houston Chronicle, and told the story and said, "He was hurt, and we didn't even get his name. Will you please tell him how grateful we are? Will you thank him for us? Please thank him for giving us back our son. Thank him for saving our precious boy and giving him the gift of life." These people just had to express their thanks, and they didn't even know the name of their boy's Savior. My friends, we know the name of our Savior. He is Jesus Christ, the Lord. So on this Thanksgiving Sunday, and on every day of our lives, let us seek to worship God by the way we care for others. Let's replace our cheap words with a life of costly thanks. In the name of Jesus, and all God's people said, Amen.